We can turn just briefly to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We've dealt with this passage in the past. We're going to read it again, since it's such an important passage of the Scripture dealing with the subject that we're dealing with. And all of God's people need to get this passage in their heart and mind. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Or as one version puts it, make you what you ought to be. Make you what you ought to be. Okay, let's turn back into the Old Testament, into the book of Psalms, Psalms 119, if you would. And let's look first at verse 67 of Psalm 119. And the psalmist says, Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Or you could say, I went astray before I was afflicted. But now have I kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. And now, verse 75, I know, O Lord, I know that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now tonight, we're going to continuing in our studies into what the Bible teaches God's children about trials of life. And we have already learned from our previous studies a number of valuable things in regards to this. For instance, we have learned that trials in life are one of God's chief methods, probably the chief method, that God uses to develop spiritual maturity and Christ's likeness in His child. We've learned from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 that we just read, that God uses suffering to make us what we ought to be. To make us what we ought to be. As that word perfect means in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Now we've also learned that trials and suffering comes in many different forms, don't they? But that God particularly and uniquely uses those small, everyday unpleasantries of life to accomplish His goals. Many Christians miss this. And then we learned from the Apostle Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, those of you that were with us when we looked at that, through Paul's thorn in the flesh there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that trials and suffering are a process. Now, Paul, you remember from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, came before the Lord on three separate occasions. And each occasion was separated by a period of time. This is by necessity. Paul didn't pray and then 5 minutes later come to the Lord and ask Him again to remove the thorn in the flesh. It was a period of time between each occasion that the Apostle Paul inquired of the Lord. So it is a process. And after the third time, Paul learned, after that third time, that God's grace was sufficient. And as a result of learning that, his faith was increased. Now, you need to understand that when we accept it, when I accept as a Christian during trial that, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me, what have you done? You've exercised faith in your God. You believe your God, that His grace is going to be sufficient. So let's put two and two together. The Apostle Paul learned faith through his thorn in the flesh. And he also learned that in this weakness of trial, as he accepted it and received it, the power of Christ rested upon him. And that's what 2 Corinthians 12 says. He was able to show the power of Christ in his life by the trial or the weakness that he suffered. So from Paul's experience of trial, I learn as a Christian that God's trials consist of a progressive, step-by-step process which, if I receive it, will result in increasing my faith and producing the power of Christ in me. We learn all of that from Paul's unique experience that he had. Now, the unfortunate thing is about this is that this divine process is something that we largely, as Christians, do not understand. And perhaps more sadly, is that what we do understand of this process, we seem to fail to put into practice in our lives. Now, we're going to discuss why we fail to put the things we know about trials into practice more on Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night. But now, in verse 75 of Psalm 119 here, the psalmist, by inspiration of God, tells us something about God's attitude toward trial, which in turn will help me to understand exactly what God is trying to do. Now, when I understand God's intentions and God's purposes for me, it will help me to adjust my heart attitude to what He is trying to do. Now, in the second half of verse 75, the writer says this. He says, "And that thou," that is God, in faithfulness has afflicted me. Now, my flesh, the natural man, does not understand this concept and really cannot accept it or receive it. And many Christians read a passage like this, but do not truly receive it with their heart. God in faithfulness will afflict me, the Bible says. Now, this tells me a lot about God's attitude toward me as His child. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 tells us, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." So we discover that God's faithfulness is directly connected to God's love. Now, because He loves us so much, God will consistently and faithfully allow unpleasant experiences to come into my life. Now, we need to get a grip on that. Now, our flesh recoils and draws back at that. The old man rejects that and will not receive it. So even though I intellectually know this truth about God and His faithful administration of trials in my life, even though I know them with my head, many times I deny them by how I respond and react to them. Now, this has everything to do with my heart and not my head. And this too we'll examine closer Wednesday night as well. But nevertheless, dear Christian, we must settle this truth in my heart and accept it by faith. The psalmist said, God is faithful to afflict me. And we do need to understand the first half of verse 75 as well. The psalmist said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. Lord, I know your judgments are right. Now, this statement helps me to receive and accept God's afflictions in the way that God intends them. We're talking about attitudes of heart here. When I understand in my heart that God's intentions towards me are perfectly right and perfectly righteous, as this statement declares, then I will be ready to receive the trial that He has for me. I, as a Christian, must consciously understand when an unpleasant experience comes into my life, God is not only working, He's not only working, but He is right in bringing this to me because it is for my good and He is showing to me His love and His faithfulness to me. And furthermore, my trial is not a mistake. It's not a mistake. God is right and righteous, verse 75 says. So, my personal heart understanding of God's character and God's intentions towards me will help me to overcome my flesh, my recoiling at trial, my rejection of trial. And instead of that, receive God's trial and bring glory to Him by my reaction to it. By my reaction to it. Now let me repeat that. My understanding of God's character and God's intentions towards me will help me to overcome my flesh. Now let me ask you, how many times when something unpleasant happens to us that we react to it with frustration, with exasperation? How many times has that happened to you? Well, that is one of our common first reactions, isn't it? Frustration, exasperation, irritation. When this happens, and it's happened to me, I should then immediately stop right at that point and bring to my mind that this situation is expressly from God, that God is trying to accomplish something with me, that God loves me, and that God is faithfully and rightly permitting this to happen. Now, frustration and irritation are a response of the flesh. I think we understand this. And if I do not immediately address this response of the flesh, that sin will grow and expand and cause me all sorts of personal harm. All sorts of personal harm. You know, in the book that Scott DeGroff recommended to us, written by James McDonald, and that book is entitled, Lord, Change My Attitude. Lord, Change My Attitude. That's a sobering title for a book, isn't it? Lord, Change My Attitude. Well, McDonald described the harm done to me as a Christian when I do not immediately deal with my first fleshly reaction. And as I continue to do that, He described this process as living in a wilderness, as living in a desert. It's barren. It's dry. Dear Christian, you don't want to be there. Some of us have. In other words, there is little joy and little peace of soul when I respond to unpleasant experiences with frustration, with exasperation, and with irritation. And there are other sinful reactions that we express during trials as well, and we'll talk some about that. However, if I understand God's divine process, what His intentions towards me are, then I can immediately deal with it. And what happens when I deal with it in God's way? What happens? Well, I become what I ought to be. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. I become what I ought to be. Also, my faith is increased. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And God's power is brought out in me. In other words, as the Apostle Paul would tell us in 2 Corinthians 12, my fleshly weakness is turned to strength. And as the Apostle Paul would say, when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12, 10. This is what God does with an unpleasant experience of life. And this is precisely why the Apostle Paul could say that he could glory in his infirmities. Why? So that the power of Christ could rest upon him. He understood this. So my heart understanding of God's character and God's intentions towards me, not my head, but my heart understanding, will help me to overcome my flesh and the reactions of my flesh. But even more than this, my understanding and my godly reactions will allow God to accomplish His intended purposes in my personal life. And young people need to understand this from the get-go. Much to my sorrow, I did not understand these concepts younger as a young Christian. So, dear ones, when I get frustrated and exasperated and irritated, be on guard. God is working with me. God is working with me. Do not block His divine purposes as to what He is trying to accomplish. Let us not do that. Understand that He is being faithful to me, as verse 75 tells me, that His actions are righteous, as verse 75 tells me, and that He loves me, Hebrews 12, 6. Now, when I totally and fully embrace these intentions of God on my behalf, when I understand why God is doing what He is doing, that is His characteristics. When I understand His characteristics of faithfulness and righteousness and love are at work in my life, at this point, when I understand this with my heart, I can receive the trial and bring glory to God through it. But it won't happen any other way. Now, this is what happened to Paul with his thorn in the flesh. As the process unfolded in the Apostle Paul's experience, as Paul came to God on three separate occasions over a period of time, he progressively, step by step, learned God's will. He didn't learn it the first time. He didn't learn it the second time. He learned it the third time. That's the way we are. But not only did he receive or learn God's will, but he received it and accepted it, and it motivated Paul in such a way that Christ was brought out in him. Now, this can be our experience as well. Our frustration and irritation and emotional conflict can be turned and transformed into God's glory. And dear ones, you will discover as well that all of those inner turmoils and negative emotions, they will be replaced by God's perfect peace. Now, Job learned this. He went through this divine process. By the end of it, he had God's perfect peace. But he had to learn with his heart what the Lord was trying to show him. But there is something else about our dealings with the unpleasant experiences of life. And that is this. Because this is a divine process, the trial itself will not be resolved in a moment of time. It will not be resolved quickly. Now, obviously, in Paul's case, it took a period of time. You know, Paul came before God on three separate, distinct occasions, separated by lengths of time. And it takes time for me to learn and profit from God's use of trials. And only God knows how long it will take me to respond. So, because this is a step-by-step process, lengths and periods of time are necessary for this process to be carried out by God. But remember that this, too, is part of God's divine plan and workings. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 tells us that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Tribulation worketh patience. So because the trial process itself requires time, patience will be produced in my heart. This is simply another virtue, and is one well worth having. So patience will be produced in my heart. But remember, my trial has to be received and acted upon before even the quality of patience can even be produced in my life. I have to act upon it and receive it. And it is obvious the psalmist himself here in Psalm 119 received and accepted his afflictions, because notice what he said in verse 75. Two words. I know. Lord, I know. I know. I know. The psalmist was totally convinced that God's trials for him were right, and that God was showing His faithfulness and His love to him by bringing these trials upon him that he talked about. He said, I know, I know. He was totally convinced in his heart. There was no ambiguity. And this resulted in his own acceptance of trials. We have to have that same spirit. This is faith, dear ones. Faith in God's character. Now, at this point, let's take a closer look at verse 67. Let's look again at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Okay. We can see that this man, God's man, learned something very valuable from his afflictions, from the unpleasant experiences of life. He had observed a particular phenomena in his life, and he saw something in his trials that we all need to learn. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." This man learned during his afflictions and afterwards something about himself. He learned from his afflictions that he possessed certain character flaws, certain failures, certain sins that he previously was not aware of. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Was he aware, dear ones, of these sins and failures in his life before he was afflicted? Was he aware of them? Obviously, he was not. If he had truly been aware of them before his affliction, he would have dealt with them. God had to deal with him, you see. It took trial and affliction to show him his personal sins and failures, which he was totally unaware of previously. He did not become aware of them until after his affliction. Now, this is something about human nature. I strongly suspect, I don't have any proof, biblical proof of this, but I strongly suspect that other people were probably, most likely, aware of his shortcomings. But he had ignored these things and had not dealt with them. Now, this was Job's experience. Elihu, the man that God sent, saw Job's heart problems. Job didn't see them. Elihu saw them. And Job was unaware of his issues. That's why God sent Elihu to him. Okay? And this, again, is the way we are. But this dear saint, this psalmist here, through his afflictions, learned what God wanted him to know. Now, first of all, he learned that he had some problems. He had some problems. Now, we need to understand that it is the Holy Spirit's business to show us and convict us of our sins. But the problem is that when we repeatedly and habitually neglect or reject the Holy Spirit's workings in my heart, then God will use His work of trials and unpleasant experiences to show me what I have neglected to deal with. Bank on that, dear one. Count on it. Now, we see from the last half of verse 67 that this man responded to this affliction and he went God's way. He said, "But now, different time frame, after the affliction, but now I have kept thy word." So he recognized what God was trying to show him. He recognized and became aware of whatever personal failures and character flaws and sins that before his trial he was completely unaware of. He was going astray, and he did not realize it until after the affliction. Please see this by the Spirit of God. I hope you do. But also, not only did he become aware he was going astray, but after God brought the trial into his life, he addressed those sins, and it says, and kept God's word. He kept God's word, it says. In other words, he yielded his heart to God in obedience. And obedience, as you know, God treasures above all things in His children. So what should we take home from all these things? Well, one thing is we would do well to not neglect or despise the unpleasant experiences that come into my life. They are most certainly from God. They are not accidents. They're not coincidences. We treat them as such. And one thing that is quite interesting is that when God brings an unpleasant event into my life, most frequently it is something which will draw my attention to my particular unique failure. Now, if it's anger, the trial will somehow be related to my issue of anger. If it is complaining, the trial will somehow be related to my complaining. God is very poetic in His dealings with us. If anger is a problem that I have, He may use someone that I have been angry at to be the vehicle for my trial. If I am afflicted with complaining, He may use the very circumstances that I complain about to show me my sin. That's the way God is. He's very poetic in His dealings with us. And there are biblical examples of this in the Scriptures. For instance, you recall Jacob's dealings with Laban. Do you recall that? You know, Jacob was a crafty schemer, wasn't he? For most of his life, he was a crafty schemer. But God brought him to Laban, who was just as much a schemer and a manipulator as Jacob was. And Jacob ended up serving Laban for 14 years and having his wages changed 10 times. So God uses unpleasant events to show me my sin and failures by using those very sins to expose to me and to reveal to me my particular sin problem. Just as God used Laban in the life of Jacob. But we can be assured that whatever characteristic it is that God desires to take out of my life or to put in my life, if we will open our spiritual eyes, we will clearly see it. We'll clearly see it. This is what God's trials will do. So we have learned tonight that God's dealings with us in the unpleasant circumstances of life, especially the small ones which we so often ignore, but those unpleasant experiences are God's divine process, a step-by-step process which God uses to produce faith, produced the power of Christ in me, and helps me to recognize my sins and failures and to make me what I ought to be. This is what God does. Now, in coming studies, we will discover even more Christ-exalting virtues of trials. But let you and I be like this man of God here in Psalm 119, who unmistakably knew that God's judgments are right for me, and that in love and faithfulness He has brought them to me. So God would tell us tonight, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Be looking for these unpleasant experiences of life. Why? Why? Because He greatly desires for me to be like His beloved Son. That's what He desires. And as the Apostle Peter would tell us, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let us listen to our God when He deals with us, dear ones. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for what You have shown us tonight concerning the unpleasant experiences that we go through, and we all go through them, Lord, that You have a divine purpose. You have a divine plan. And it is only through the hardness and insensitivity of our hearts that we do not respond to these unpleasant experiences, Lord. We either do not recognize them as You training us, or we do not respond and react to them in the way that You would have us to. Oh God, we do pray that we would not be hard Christians, but that we would be sensitive to Thy Spirit and Your divine workings in our everyday circumstances. Because You love us. You've told us this. You are faithful to us. And You are right and righteous in bringing these unpleasant experiences in our life. So, Father, we pray that we would have an enlightened understanding that can only come from the Spirit of God concerning these matters. May we hide them in our heart. May the Spirit of God recall them to our minds in the coming days. The next time we have an unpleasant experience of life, let us remind ourselves, O God, You are working with me. May we respond by bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and may You produce glorious fruit in our lives because of it. We pray this in the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.